The title of my sermon this morning is All Seeds Must Die. Interesting title, isn't it? And my text is the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Also a small section in 1 Corinthians 15 and Matthew 13, and I will announce those as we come to them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful service so far. We thank you, Lord, that your presence never fails. Your presence is so precious, and we covet it, Lord, above everything. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us the ability to come boldly. You gave us the invitation to come boldly when we come to ask or to worship or to enter into your presence, Lord. You said, come with boldness. Oh, how blessed we are, and we thank you for it. Father, I pray right now that your anointing would be upon this message, and that you would anoint me to bring it forth, Lord, with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit as it was given in your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And we'll pray for our brother who is in need. Amen. John chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 23. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whosoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." We have read many times in many places throughout the life and ministry of Jesus where he said, "My hour has not yet come," meaning that it wasn't time for his identity to be fully revealed, because if it had been, they would have sought to kill him prematurely and put his life out before he finished his earthly ministry and teaching those who would carry on the work after he went back to heaven. But here in John, we see the opposite. He says, just after his triumphal entry to Jerusalem, and just before he told the disciples that this was the very hour for which he came, that he, the Son of Man, must be lifted up on the cross so that the Father would be glorified in the Son. Now he says that he's ready. It's his hour. It's his time to be revealed and the Father to be glorified. And in this portion is where he squeezes in this little statement about how seeds must die. Verse 24 said, "Unless the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Evan, would you please show number one, picture number one, or Don, whoever's doing it. Early Monday morning, I went outside to inspect my fairly new vertical garden. It's called a green stock, and I really like it. I like to grow things, but I did not inherit. Hear me, I did not inherit my grandparents' nor my father's green thumbs. So I kind of have to fake it as best I can. And that's what this is, kind of a fake garden, if you will. It was designed, the green stock was designed and made in Tennessee by the Peterson family. And their motto is, firmly rooted in family and faith. The green stalk has a unique structure where the plants are in the pockets that you see on a round tier, and the tiers are stacked on top of each other, and between each tier, which you can't see, is a watering reservoir, and there are holes in each of the reservoirs that correspond with each pocket on each tier. So you put water in the top, and it seeps down into each of those holes in the reservoir between each one, and it waters every pocket of the tier. I planted mostly seeds in this structure. Carrots, radishes, tomatoes, although I've moved the tomatoes, lettuces, beans, zucchini, and my very favorite, mustard seeds for the greens. All the normal stuff. I've never grown anything from seeds before that I can remember. So this past Monday morning, when I went out to check the progress, I saw something that I think was a gift from the Lord. Evan, would you show picture number two, please? Or I don't know who's doing what. Picture number two. You see that white thing sitting on top of that green plant? That's a zucchini seed. It had broken through the soil overnight, literally. And the seed had completely opened up in the middle, as you can see, like a zipper. And out of it was growing the actual zucchini plant. The leaves were still tight and rolled up inside of it. And they were growing right up through the center of the seed pod. And it was visible on either side of the plant. But the seed itself, as you can clearly see, is dead. There was no life left in the seed, for it had surrendered its life to the plant. And what is the purpose of that? Because it is the plant that will bear the fruit. It's not the seed that will bear the fruit. Jesus said, unless the kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. Even in its dormant and useless waiting stage, the seed contains the fullest potential of life, but it ceases to be a seed so that the intended plant can come through, rise through the middle of the seed, and bear something new and useful for the land. God designed and mirrored the plant life after us so that we are his seed. We must also die to ourselves. We are buried in Christ, the Bible tells us. We're not buried in the dirt, but we are buried in Christ. And we must surrender our will. Oh, the hardest thing for us to surrender is our own will, what we want to do and how we want to do it. But it's the only way that we can bring forth new life. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians 15, it explains how this works so well. Verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Oh, you foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow, the seed that I put in that ground, that in that pocket, was not the body that it was to be, but a bare kernel, a seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen. It's gonna be a zucchini plant. And each kind of seed has its own body. For not all flesh is the same. But there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds and fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another. For the glory of the sun is one kind of glory, and another kind of glory for the moon, and another for the stars. But he says, even the stars' glory differ one from another. The Corinthians couldn't understand and grasp how material bodies are going to, that are subject to corruption and illness and decay, how could they live again eternally after being dead? And Paul explained to them, it's because God will change their earthly bodies of the deceased and the ugliness and make them appropriate for the new, imperishable existence. Just like he changes the seed, which is now no more a seed, but it becomes the plant on which the fruit will grow. A seed is sown into the ground, but it doesn't remain a seed. That's what the scripture said. If it just remains alone, it means nothing. But it has to have a whole new purpose, a whole new destiny, and it will sing a whole new song. For it was sown a corruptible body. We were sown in this world as corruptible, born into this world in flesh and blood, which decays, deteriorates. But as Nancy was saying, on that day, we will be raised in glory. Whether we've been in the ground or whether we are raised from our feet to the air, it doesn't matter. We will be raised in a glorified, eternal body. Let's finish this chapter, or finish this passage, verse 43, just a few more verses. So it is with resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor or ugliness or a simple state, but it is raised in glory. And it is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. And if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Don't doubt it. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And the last man, Adam, Jesus himself, became a living spirit. It is not the spirit that is first, but the natural. Just like the state of the seed, then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, from the dust, but the second man is from heaven, Jesus. And as the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. We are like each other. And the man of heaven, also those who are of heaven. And here is our amazing promise of God and guarantee, verse 49, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we also bear the image of the man of heaven, that spiritual body. Hallelujah. That seed that I planted didn't look anything like a green zucchini, but it sure did look like a seed that comes out of the fruit. So don't be discouraged if you don't think you look like you should right now. Don't be discouraged if you didn't get on the path long, long ago. You're there now and cling to it and stay on it, because we don't appear glorified right now, but we have to die to ourselves, as I said, to our will, to be resurrected in that glorious body. Maybe, I want to say this carefully, maybe the seeds that were sown into you weren't good seeds. Maybe they were hard seeds. Maybe they were harsh. Maybe they were some of the ugliness that we talked about. Let those seeds die. Don't reproduce after that kind. Go after the seeds that the Lord plants in us, the goodness and the truth and the honor and all of those things that are just and pure. Those seeds are the ones we want to plant and nurture and water. Water those, because the harvest is the end of the age, when the reapers are the angel. Verse 40 said that just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. I didn't tell you. Now we're in Matthew 13. I'm sorry. Matthew 13, verse 36 through 43. And of that scripture, I'm just going to read verse 40 says that just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom of God all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun. There will be a separation of the seeds. The angels, the Bible says, will come and pull them out, and they will discard them, never to be again. And when Satan comes to you and wants to try to kill your seed, your good seed, and steal your life or destroy your marriage, he is revealing those weeds. But you are set apart for the greatest victory, because the Bible says that we, the righteous, will be shining like the sun. Yes, all seeds must die or forever remain in a useless stage of waiting that don't become anything. And in that, we know that this flesh does see hardship. It sees pain and difficulty. But unless the seeds of self die to Christ, we cannot be raised to the plant and the beauty and the glory that he has designed for us. Evan, would you show number 3, or Don, whoever's doing it? Last week I went out, Thursday I believe it was, and things had grown quite a bit. Every bit of that came out of that little garden. Swiss chard, radish tops. The celery tops are just about an inch high, so I really didn't bother with those. Several kinds of lettuces that were there, and I just snipped and chopped and put them in a bowl. Put some lemon juice and olive oil and salt and pepper on them and ate them up, and it was so good. I even ate the Swiss chard and everything raw. It was delicious because they're little small leaves. They weren't very big, but it produced what it was supposed to produce. Something nutritious, something good for the land, good for the body, good for us. And that's how the seeds of Christ do. They germinate inside and they produce the good things. They produce the things that we can live on, the things that we depend on for nutrition, for the vitamins, for the things that we have need of in our bodies. I told Doug, feel free to go out and, you know, clip and snip what you see. I had one strawberry that was getting red, and this was an overwintered strawberry. So it was growing last year, and I moved it to the planter. One strawberry ripened, and I picked it and ate it with my salad. It was so good. So the strawberry is not there. But anyway, you see the end result. Then the righteous will shine like the sun. Will you stand with me, please? Father, we thank you that you put the potential of life into every seed. Every one of us, Lord, that you gave to Christ, you said you gave those of us to him, and they were fully his, and with his righteousness, we will be raised in power and eternal life. Oh, how we thank you, Lord, for that spiritual body seed that will be raised. But Lord, I ask you now, oh, right now, Lord, to look into the heart of each one. And as I said, there may be some seeds that were sown into us by others that weren't good. Lord, help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to cut those out and cast them into the fire, so to speak, and get them out. Lord, we don't want to harbor those. We don't want to nurture those and water those that cause bitterness and anger and cause things to well up in us, Lord, that would not be pleasing unto you. Oh, but we want to nurture and water and cultivate, Lord. I go by and I stir the pockets a little bit and let the water get down deep into the top crust of the soil so that the roots can be watered. That's what we ask the Holy Spirit for this morning, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for the path, oh God, that you created for each one of us. Thank you for the seed that you put in us, oh God, for it will be that seed that prepares us and makes us ready for the resurrection time when we will be raised spiritual beings, Lord. Pleasing unto you, oh God, is our prayer. And Father, we ask now that if you would just go with us, oh God, let that power and presence, Lord, resonate in our hearts, that we know that you are there. We know that you are on the path with us, Lord, that we are on that right path, Lord. Oh, how we thank you for it. Be with each and every one. Protect, cover, Lord Jesus, with the beautiful wings, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, just give him praise another minute for the beautiful seed that he's put in you and what will be resurrected in power and glory and might for all of eternity. For that's the end of the age, the harvest, as it said in verse 40. Oh, thank you of Matthew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go with us now, Lord, in your precious name. Amen and amen.